From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. It is a marathon weekend in New York City, literally. At 7:30 Saturday morning, 134 American men will begin racing to represent the United States in the marathon at next summer's Olympics. Then on Sunday, 38,000 more marathoners will run for slightly lesser stakes through the city's five boroughs. Joining me to talk about the races is sports writer Stefan Fatsis of The Wall Street Journal. Stefan, when we think of the marathon these days, we don't automatically think of Americans winning them.
And we haven't for a long time. An American has not won the New York City Marathon since Alberto Salazar back in 1982, haven't won the Boston Marathon since Greg Meyer in 1983, and you have to go back to 1972 to find an American gold medalist in the Olympic marathon, Frank Shorter.
Why the decline?
Mostly, I think it's because of a lack of interest from sponsors and financial support from the various Olympic and track governing bodies in the United States. They allocate resources based on Olympic success. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Long-distance running hasn't done well for a while, so it gets less money. Sprinters historically have done well, so they get more money. More distance runners don't get good until their late 20s and 30s, but they can't train to get there without financial support. So a lot of potentially talented long-distance runners take jobs out of college and leave the sport.
But if you look at the list of American Olympic hopefuls, there are runners whose names might actually be familiar not only to people who follow long-distance running, but to sports fans generally.
And things are getting better, and that's because we have an American runner who medaled at the last Olympics. Meb Keflezighi won the silver medal in the marathon in Athens. His family fled war-torn Eritrea when he was 5, and he moved to the United States when he was 12. So he's not someone who became a naturalized citizen after becoming a world-class athlete. Now, he'll be running tomorrow. Another runner to watch is Abdi Abder Rahman, who was born in Somalia and moved to the United States when he was 12 also. But there are other runners, too, who have run marathons in 2 hours, 8 minutes, 9 minutes. You've got the former world record holder, too, Khalid Kanouchi, who did become an American after much of his running success.
So then what's changing in American distance running that's helped to improve U.S. chances in these races?
Yeah, and let's be clear. We're talking about improving chances, not dominating events the way that Kenyans and other African runners have, and runners from Brazil and Mexico and other countries. It's still true that only the absolute elite coming out of college gets stipends from Nike and other sneaker companies or from the Olympic development programs that allow them to train full time. But now you're seeing more opportunities for this second tier of runners that allow them to train through their 20s. All of it's happening outside of the auspices of USA Track and Field, the governing body, which has not found a way to boost its support for long distance running.
Now, a few years ago, you wrote about a kind of a runner's commune in Michigan that was founded by two brothers, Keith and Kevin Hansen, who owned a chain of running shops, and now it's taken off.
Yeah, and it is the chief example of this new path outside of the federations. The Hansons bought a couple of houses on the cheap in suburban Detroit. They offered jobs in their stores and health insurance and recruited a dozen post-collegiate runners who otherwise would have become joggers, as one of them told me. They did this with their own money because they love the sport, and they believe that the problem with U.S. distance running was that Americans didn't train in groups the way Bill Rogers and Frank Shorter and others did in the 1970s. And it's worked. 13 of their runners will be in the Olympic trials tomorrow. Keith Hansen told me this morning that two of them have a legitimate chance to finish in the top three and qualify for the Olympics. And the Hansons now are sponsored by sneaker maker Brooks and the automaker Saturn.
Thank you, Stefan.
Thanks, Robert.
Sports writer Stefan Fatsis of The Wall Street Journal, who talks with us most Fridays about sports and the business of sports.